Thank you, Cindy. I invite you now to stand as you're able for the reading of this morning's gospel, which comes from the gospel according to Luke, the end of his gospel. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. And Jesus said to them, "Why are you frightened and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and he ate it in their presence. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Please join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. Oh, Holy God, we thank you for the gift of this Sabbath day that you've called us together to worship you. And we thank you especially for the gift of your holy word. And we ask, O Lord, that you would be with us now in this time as your word is proclaimed. May you be in the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O God, would you be present in the words of my mouth, that they would be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name. You, O God, who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. This morning, I want to share a story with you that perhaps you've heard before, but it's an ascension story, basically. But when I was the associate pastor and still in seminary, after I'd been ordained a deacon, the church was going on a trip to the Holy Land. And so they offered me a gift of that trip, which was a very generous gift from that congregation. But there was one string attached. And the string that was attached was that I was to babysit or care for Helen Krupenbacher. Now, Helen was a feisty, older member of the congregation. And not only was she feisty, she was hard of hearing, and she was usually grumpy. And she would always say what was on her mind, and she had no filters. So I thought, well, that's a small price to pay to get to go to the Holy Land. I'll babysit Helen. Well, Helen, about the middle of the trip, was getting really grumpy and tired, and it was in the middle of the trip that we were going to Bethany to the Mount of the Ascension. And there was a very long line, and it was a very hot day, and the wait just seemed to be forever. And so we edged along that line until we finally were at the spot where there was a stone that was cordoned off, and in that stone there were two imprints of footprints. And it was believed that from that spot, it was where Jesus ascended into heaven. Now remember, Helen is hard of hearing, she has no filters, and she says whatever is on her mind. So we get to this holy spot, and Helen, in the top of her voice, says, "Is that all there is? Is that all there is? We waited in line this long for that? Is that all there is?" Now, as mortified as I was, and wanted to just disappear, that experience has stuck with me all these years. Is that all there is? Is that all there is? And I wonder if those 11 disciples in Bethany that day, when Jesus ascended into heaven, if they too wondered, is that all there is? Is that all there is? Really, They may have thought, Jesus, are you really going to leave us? Are you going to leave us to our own devices? Are you now gone forever? When are you coming back? Is this all there is? Remember, they had traveled with Jesus for 3 years. They had witnessed the horrors of the passion and the crucifixion. And then there was that glorious moment of resurrection when they knew that Jesus was alive. And for 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus was on and off with them. And he was busy opening their minds to the scripture, helping them to understand who the Messiah truly was, to understand that he was the fulfillment of all the words of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. He spent those 40 days helping to shape those disciples. But obviously the disciples aren't yet quite ready. For here on this day of ascension, as Jesus leaves them, there's a couple of clues that perhaps they thought, is this all there is? Is this all there is? The first clue is the question that they ask Jesus. Jesus, is this now the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? In other words, is this now the time, Lord, when you will fulfill what it means to be the Messiah, to be the Davidic Messiah? Will you restore the kingdom to Israel now? It wasn't the right question. And Jesus knew it wasn't the right question, and so he answers those disciples by saying, that's really not yours to know. It's not yours to define. It's not yours to pinpoint the moment. That's God's work. You have different work now, and it's not about restoration of the kingdom. It's about sharing the good news of repentance and salvation to the end of the world. That's now your business. It's not about the restoration of the kingdom. Jesus knew that until they had that gift of the Holy Spirit that will come at Pentecost, that they still had a narrow understanding and a narrow vision of who Jesus was and what the mission was about. Truly, this was a moment when Jesus was handing off the baton to the disciples. Ministry now would be theirs. They would be the witnesses of the good news. It's a transition period from the ministry of Jesus to the ministry of the disciples and the ministry of the church. It's a defining moment for the disciples. It's a defining moment for the church, just as Pentecost will be 10 days after this. Gordon MacDonald describes a defining moment as this. It's an occasion of significant life change when confusion and uncertainty coalesce into confident conviction. That may not have happened at ascension. It may have been a defining moment at resurrection, but the defining moment will come, and Jesus knows this, that defining moment will come when they receive that power of the Holy Spirit. So they're told to return to Jerusalem, to stay there and wait. They'll be equipped with that power. They will assume that authority, and they will now have the voice to share that story of repentance and salvation. The other piece where I think the scriptures point that they didn't quite get it and they wondered, is that all there is, was also in that story from Acts that Cindy read this morning. That story where two men, two angels, speak to the bewildered disciples and say, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up to heaven? This Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Can you imagine those 11 disciples on that Mount of Ascension watching Jesus ascend into heaven and keeping their eyes on that spot, wondering what has just happened? Wondering what has just happened. They want to hold on to the risen Christ. They've appreciated this 40 days of seeing him and listening to him. But now they have to let him go, and they are hesitant to do that. We all know that feeling. We all know that feeling of not wanting to let go, to hang on to moments, to hang on to life, to hang on to mountaintop experiences. I think it took me until Wednesday to get over the euphoria of Sunday. That kind of joy, that wanting to hang on to that moment, hang on to that excitement. We truly want to hold on. And we all know that feeling, especially when we've lost a loved one. We want one more moment. We want one more day, we want one more experience, one more time to talk to that person. And I wonder if those disciples who were staring up to heaven, if that's what they wanted, one more experience, one more time to talk to Christ, one more moment. Did they wonder, is this all there is? Is this all there is? We know from Scripture that Jesus had to go. He had to go so that the Holy Spirit could come and be that strength and power and comfort. And Jesus knows as well that they have to let him go. They have to let him go. A sermon on this scripture says this: the good news of Jesus' ascension is that now God's power of resurrection, forgiveness, and salvation are let loose in the world, the whole world. God's kingdom includes much more than anyone had imagined, more people, more places, and more time. God called the disciples then and calls us now to listen to God's lead. We are to go out with the good news into neighborhoods, communities, and the world. We're also to expect Jesus to meet us there, not in earthly bodily form, but in the power of his Spirit. Because Jesus has ascended, his power is now spread all over God's creation. The whole world has become the setting of its healing, restoring, and saving work. And we are meant to be a part of it and not sit around waiting for Christ to come again. Instead, the Spirit leads us out, teaching us new languages in word and deed to spread that good news. The Spirit works through us to bring help and healing to the world as we minister to both physical and spiritual needs. Jesus had to go. The Holy Spirit had to come so that the ministry of Jesus was not just locked into Jerusalem, not just kept in Judea, but had the opportunity to be spread all through the known world. The first step of those apostles, the first steps that they needed to take was to make that journey from Bethany, to Jerusalem. It was the same trek that Jesus had used on Palm Sunday. And you have to wonder if they worried about what was waiting there when they too arrived in that holy city. They weren't sure of what was going to happen, but they stayed together. They stayed in community. They didn't wander off in their own ways. Jesus had gathered them, gathered those disciples into a faith community. Jesus had taught them in community. Jesus had left them in that moment of community, and Jesus had promised them that the Spirit would come to them as a group, as a community. The Spirit would be poured into them in that upper room at Pentecost. They stuck together. You might have wondered if they were fearful or anxious, but what scriptures tell us is that they left from Bethany to go to Jerusalem with exceedingly great joy. And they were constantly blessing God, and they were in the temple every day worshiping. They stayed together as a group, and they shared that joy and that excitement of what was still yet to come. They didn't know that it would only be 10 days. They had no idea how long they would have to wait for that promised Holy Spirit. But they spent that time together, probably reminiscing, but especially worshiping. Feasting on the Gospels would say this about that instance. Those first disciples must have shared with one another their anxieties and fears, their hopes and dreams, their wonder and anticipation as they retraced their steps to Jerusalem that first ascension day. The Spirit was promised to them in community. Of course, individuals can and do have experiences of the Spirit, but Jesus makes it clear that it is the Spirit working in the community that will spread the good news around the world and bring in the reign of God. That reality has not changed in 2 millennia. It still takes a community of faith, Spirit-filled, to spread the good news and bring in the reign of God. That is our challenge and our commission as the body of Christ, followers of the way. Those first disciples may have wondered, is that all there is? But they didn't stay in that moment or in that thought. They made that trip to Jerusalem. They waited together, for they knew that what Jesus had promised them, the Spirit would show them the bigger picture, show them what it was that they were to do, that this really wasn't the end, but perhaps just the beginning. At times in our own lives when we wonder, is this all there is? We should invite the Holy Spirit to show us the bigger picture, to encourage us to think about what our next faithful step is, and to have God open our eyes and our hearts to see what is yet to come. For truly, this is not all there is. Amen.